Chapter 5. The History of UFOs. Part 4. In 2001 we have the New Jersey Turnpike incident. Several people including police officers stopped their cars along the New Jersey Turnpike to view unexplained light formations in the night sky as mentioned below.
Fox 5 News reports, one observer.
Oh my goodness. It was a whole row of them.
This amateur video shows what hundreds of people saw around Carteret, New Jersey early Sunday morning, objects yet unidentified, that seemed to be flying. Natalie Stanford.
At first I was like scared. 'Cause I didn't know what was going on. But first thing that came to my mind was UFOs. First, it looked like stars but no, couldn't have been.
Make no mistake, the Carteret Police Department got jammed with calls about the lights and even patrolmen saw this strange occurrence. Officer Scott Stipp.
About 15 to 20 lights in the sky, I have no idea what they could be.
Some people who saw the lights already have their minds made up. Roy Kulikowski.
I don't know what it was. They changed forms, then they dropped off slowly. I don't know what it was, I'm not saying I believe in aliens, but UFOs, that was it.
Astronomers say that there are some major solar storms that are happening right now, which light up the atmosphere, known as the Aurora Borealis, but they are not usually seen as pinpoints of light, and so the speculation continues as to what they actually were. Fox 5 News reporter Harry Martin.
Well, as far as we could determine, there were no parachutists at the tower. It wasn't a satellite. It's certainly not the space shuttle, but just in case something did land. There is an unofficial mugshot that has been released, and I emphasize unofficial mugshot of what may have landed. As he holds up a mugshot of a green alien. We are live in Carteret. Back to you.
In 2004 through 2006 we had the Tinley Park lights in Chicago, Illinois. This encounter includes a series of several mass UFO sightings in Tinley Park and Oak Park, Illinois, suburbs of Chicago. Witnesses to each event reported seeing three silent, self-luminescent objects which red or red-orange in color were and spherical in shape, hanging in the night sky. They moved slowly in formation for approximately 30 minutes at low to intermediate altitude, and were visible from the ground for approximately 12 miles in any direction.
It was a quiet summer evening in the suburbs of Chicago, until some residents noticed that the aroma of grilling burgers and brats were not the only thing wafting through the night sky. Thomas T.J. Chapman.
We were at a block party, my sons and I, and my one son Justin said, "Look, there's a UFO," and I turned around, and I'm like, "What in the world are these things? I've never seen anything like this before, never."
Thomas T.J. Chapman grabbed his camera and began filming the strange objects. Sam Maranto, UFO investigator.
I believe it was around 10:30, people were starting to see a configuration of three illuminations in the sky in a pattern of an isosceles triangle or some variation thereof.
Thomas T.J. Chapman.
I got it. I got it on tape. And as I was shooting, this thing started rotating into a triangle right above the house. We didn't know if these were three separate crafts, or if they were tied into each other.
The block party went from barbecuing and horseshoes to debating a possible UFO sighting.
What is it? We started thinking, is it helicopters? No, it didn't make any sound. Is it flares? No, there's no smoke involved, plus flares just give off one color.
TJ decided to go straight to the experts and contacted UFO investigator Sam Maranto. Sam Maranto.
When I saw the footage, I knew what we may very well be dealing with is something genuine.
TJ and his block party companions weren't the only ones to report strange things amiss in the night skies over suburban Chicago.
What's nice about a mass sighting is you cut across the demographic of a community. We have doctors, lawyers, aviation personnel, we have ex-military personnel, people in almost every cut of life imaginable, and all of them agree that what they saw that night was something they can't put their finger on.
But the Tinley Park Triangle was not through mystifying the populace.
I was fortunate to film a commercial airline cutting in front of them.
That's why this is very good footage. We actually have a plane in the air and we can see that these illuminations, these fields of light, are as big, or possibly 3 times larger or more than the actual jet. That's pretty conclusive.
In 2004 through 2005 we have the Mexico mass UFO fleet sightings in Mexico. These sightings, also called the Quiet Invasion, happened in broad daylight and started with a formation of just 7 objects. They all emitted a white luminosity and had a spherical form. Some of the objects would leave formation and start performing individual maneuvers and seemed to be controlled by an intelligent force. After filming the 7 UFOs for approximately 15 minutes, suddenly there appeared an enormous fleet of UFOs, 100 to 200 of them, flying in perfect formation, contrasting with the blue sky and white clouds. These sightings are considered to be one of most important pieces of UFO evidence, and another fleet of UFOs was filmed later. And in 2006 we have the Chicago O'Hare UFO sighting, where a group of United Airlines employees and pilots claimed sightings of a saucer-shaped unlit craft hovering over a Chicago O'Hare airport terminal before shooting up vertically and punching a hole in the clouds. Authorities initially denied having received reports of it and then later tried to explain it away, as this rare behind-the-scenes news footage exposes.
Oh, hey John.
Hey Jim, how are you?
Well, fine, thanks. How are you?
Busy with this UFO stuff.
Oh my god, did you see it hit the Fox crawl Monday night?
It's everywhere, CNN, and this is my 4th appearance today.
Really?
MSNBC every network.
Oh, my goodness, that is.
It's worldwide, Australia, everywhere.
That's how I'm gonna start off. I'm gonna say, well, John, the response has been out of this world. Well, congratulations, where's the latest on the investigation with the FAA then? Or by this time tomorrow is going to prove a lot.
United is now acknowledging that they were approached by employees, so they've done that flip-flop and I'm trying to locate photos of this. I'm told there might be photos.
Oh really? Wow, that would be cool.
I'm told that the story on CT has almost 1 million hits.
Yeah, it's the most read story in the history of CT.com.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. I got an email yesterday from Phil D. And it's on their history of the website.
Wow. Well, incredible, incredible. So, does the possibility exist that you might get the pictures in for tomorrow?
No, no, no. I am told that the pilots on that plan that was being pushed back. I said in the story that they opened the windows and stuck their head out, and now I'm being told that one of them had a digital camera and snapped some pictures.
Wow.
So, United's not playing ball with me in FAA. I've expanded my FOIA to include the flight plan, which might include the pilots' names. I'm trying to work with the union as well.
Are they still going by weather phenomenon?
FAA, because of the federal holiday, I haven't talked to them much, but yeah, they haven't changed their story. I've heard from other people since then, and that explanation just doesn't wash.
And they haven't gone out of their way to say anything otherwise, so far?
No, you know, they say it was November 7th, they're moving on, doing their daily thing.
Well, I tell you what, all the people that saw it must be feeling a little invalidated right about now.
Oh yeah. I'm getting tons of emails from other people outside the airport and at O'Hare. Who either sighted that same object or saw the hole in the sky and said, "What is that?"
Really? Wow. Okay, so what did it look like again for the folks that saw it? It was a saucer-like object hovering over the United terminal, right?
Yeah. Directly over gate C-17, and it was stationary in the sky, dark gray metallic. I guess they saw certain shapes, no lights, and it was there for some minutes, and when it disappeared it just streaked through the clouds with such energy that it broke a blue hole in the overcast, and the hole remained there for several minutes until the wind drifted and pushed the clouds back together.
So, the blue was the sky, wow.
Yeah. The blue was the sky, but otherwise the entire skyline was cloudy and overcast. An airplane just doesn't react like that, it slices through and doesn't disturb the atmosphere.
Do you have any other interviews set up after this, John?
Yeah. I'm going back on the radio stations, a couple radio stations this afternoon, and then Headline News has a show at 3 o'clock.
I'll have to watch them. Okay, Australia, what other international?
I mean all over Europe. I'm hearing from people in Ireland, they say that. We hear about what's happening in O'Hara. As well as serious researchers at major US universities that have attempted to do their own investigations, but when they go to the government to get information they get stonewalled. So there really is this universal feeling that the government knows a lot more than it's willing to tell.
Man, okay. I think it's so cool that I was the first one to get to talk to you about it.
Live news story.
The UFO O'Hara story that the Chicago Tribune exclusively broke on New Year's Day is garnering attention around the world. Joining us to talk about it once again is John Hildovich, who broke the story. John, the response has been, well, out of this world.
Yes, it has been astronomical, Jim. Every major country, it seems, people have written in, both those who claim they have spotted UFOs during their life as well as serious researchers. I mean, in just the last 2 days, this is my email. These are the serious emails, the one from kooks who say they were brought aboard spacecraft I put in a circular file. So, it's just a story that has legs and people are fascinated by the thought, and I think there is some belief that there are advanced life forms that are visiting us here on a regular basis.
You've been contacted now in the last few days by several countries, but that also includes serious researchers here in the US. I've got to tell you, I got a call from my dad in California Monday night, and he was like, "What is up with the O'Hara UFO story?" And I said, "Where did you see that? Where did you read that?" "Well, it's on Fox Network's Crawl on the Bottom." It's just amazing how much this is garnering.
Yeah, it really is, in worldwide attention, as you say, and from people who have made observations themselves, like on November 7th, the date of this incident, people both at O'Hare and outside the airport, who have either seen this gray, disc-shaped metallic object themselves, or they saw that huge hole in the sky that the object created when it vanished.
Let's go over that one more time. What did people see when it all of a sudden vanished right through the clouds over the United Terminal? And how has the FAA been reacting the last few days too? Is there any new ground on that?
Okay. Well, the object was hovering in a stationary position about 1,500 feet above the United Terminal for some minutes, and then when it left, it just burst through this thick cloud layer, creating this large open space of blue sky on an otherwise overcast day. It took some minutes for that opening to close up when the clouds drifted back together. It's just extremely unusual, according to the witnesses. Airplanes usually just don't react like this, they slice through clouds, and they really don't disturb the atmosphere that much except with the wing tips and such. The FAA is still pinning this to some sort of weather phenomenon. Like some lights from the airport and the overcast sky somehow got together and created this image, but weather experts, astronomy experts, others that I've talked to say that that's bunk. The explanation just doesn't wash. United, on the other hand, after denying that they got any reports from employees about the sighting, is now, yes, indeed, their employees did approach them immediately because of concerns about safety.
And to reiterate, John, the witnesses who originally came to you are all seasoned credible professionals like pilots and so.
They're pilots, they're senior managers, they're mechanics, and others, so they're very truthful about what they're saying, and we are trying to locate photographs if they do exist of this incident.
John, we know that you have other interviews to do today with other countries, so we'll let you go and keep our eyes to the sky. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim.
Off air.
This is just incredible. Isn't it amazing what really garners people's attention for several reasons, I suppose?
Yeah.
How cool. I can't wait to see in a week where this stands.
I'm still amazed that I'm getting requests for interviews.
In 2007, we have the Islington incident in London, where several UFOs were spotted over North London in the inner city district of Islington. The police started receiving phone calls only minutes after the objects appeared, and one witness stated this.
I just picked up my son from nursery in Bredgar Road. I had just come out of the door when I noticed what was going on in the sky. There were a group of them, 10 to 15 of them, moving together. I thought for a while that something was happening in the center of London. Bombs and planes crossed my mind. But I realized very quickly that they didn't look like any aircraft I'd seen before. They were coming from the north and moving south. And then they kind of stopped and they were hovering. There was no sound. They seemed to fade away and I saw more coming and then they stopped. It lasted about 10 minutes. Another witness stated that he was picking his daughter up from school and he saw many people looking up in the air. Traffic had stopped and people were staring. He said he saw between 12 and 15 orange lights traveling across the sky. Then they would stop and then they went upwards. The following is a piece of actual footage from another witness.
Also, in 2007 was the New Delhi incident in India where two UFOs were detected near the Indian Prime Minister's residence. Then in 2007 the Alderney sighting in England took place when airline pilots on separate flights spot massive UFOs off the coast of Alderney in the English Channel.
About 2 months ago, Captain Ray Bowyer, a man with more than 20 years flying experience under his wings, so to speak, saw something extraordinary which later made those headlines as he flew at 4,000 feet near Guernsey, and so did quite a few of his passengers, and so did the pilot of another aircraft that was flying nearby. Captain Bowyer is here now to tell his story. Thank you for coming in and thank you for speaking up, because I know from private conversations I've had over the years with commercial pilots, certainly from the cockpit, they do see things, and they tend not to report them, because they don't want to be laughed at or have their careers jeopardized. So why did you decide to speak out about it?
Well, I actually didn't decide to speak out about it. It was the press that asked my company, the company I work for, would I mind doing an interview, and the company, being a very forward-thinking firm, had no objection. In fact, pretty much actively encouraged it, so that's how it happened.
Well, how did the press get hold of it then? Did passengers?
I don't know.
You weren't the only one that saw this phenomenon, were you?
No, I wasn't.
There were some passengers as well as another pilot.
Yes.
We got an artist impression done up this afternoon on our computer paint box. Is that kind of what you saw?
No.
Ha ha. Okay, well, why don't you describe it to us?
Well, it was a brilliant yellow object, with a brightness you got there about two-thirds from left to right. There was a graphite gray section, if you want to call it a fuselage, if you're looking into it.
And how big was it?
Difficult to say once again, but I'd say from 50 miles away. Any object from 50 miles away must be pretty enormous.
What about a mile long?
It's possible.
In 2008 to 2009, we have the Turkey UFO sightings in Istanbul. Over a four-month span in 2008, a night guard at the Yeni Kent compound videotaped one or more UFOs over Turkey at nighttime. Many witnesses confirmed the 2.5 hours worth of video, leading the authorities to dub it as the most important images of a UFO ever filmed.
2:20 a.m. June 12, 2008. This is amazing, man. Light is moving. The UFOs returned once again in 2009, and Dr. Roger Lehr was fortunate enough to be behind the camera. 4:59 a.m. May 15, 2009. The following is an excerpt from Dr. Lehr's presentation at the 2010 Ventura County UFO Festival in Ventura, California. There was a bright full moon, and below the moon there was this little bright spot, and we didn't know what it was, and we were filming out over the water. There were no structures in the water, there were no oil platforms or ships going by, and we zoomed in. This camera has a 200mm lens and an electronic doubler, so we were able to get very tight on the leading edge of the craft. The craft, you have to realize, is being lit by the moonlight. As I said, there was this very bright moon. And then, right at the front on the craft, there appeared to be three windows, viewing ports, whatever you want to call them, and standing in these viewing ports were your typical bumper sticker greys, and I saw this. I looked through the camera myself. Fortunately, we recorded it, and that video went to the university in Istanbul and went over extremely intense scrutiny by the Turkish government, and then the video was also sent to the UK and several other countries for analysis.
By the time all that had been done, it already had been on the internet. It could absolutely not be suppressed from the public.
In 2008 in South India we have a UFO sighting. In India several UFOs were not only seen and filmed in South India, but they also appeared and disappeared at will. In 2008 we have the Moscow UFO sightings. Different people including the state-owned media reported sightings of several orange UFOs. In 2009 we have scattered US sightings of UFOs that were reported all over the United States. Also, in 2009 we have the BBC UFO sighting in Northern England. In this case a UFO was captured on BBC camera.
BBC News reports. Were you watching your TV yesterday around 9:05 in the morning? Did you catch the morning headlines, and did you spot something suspicious in the screen behind me? Have a look, is it a bird? Is it a plane? What is it? We don't know. Perhaps you can help, and if you can, please do, and remember, don't have nightmares.
And in 2009 we have the Ural abduction in Russia. Once again in the Ural Mountains there was another reported, not a death this time, but an alleged disappearance of an 11-year-old girl by a UFO. Again in 2009 we have the Blue Spiral UFO sighting in Norway. A strange blue spiral-shaped UFO appeared over the skies in Norway.
The Early Show reports. Scientists from all over the world are trying to figure out what caused a mysterious blue light to spiral in the sky over Norway on Wednesday. As far as UFO sightings go, this one is as good, or as weird, as it gets. A light appearing high in the Arctic sky baffling those who saw it, and exciting a lot of comment. Sheila McVicker, early Wednesday morning, this appearing in the sky over Norwegian sky. A blue light, small at first and growing into a spiral, and then disappearing into what appeared to be a black hole. In the northern community of Kondalite, and on a Norwegian military base, phones snapped, video cameras rolled, and bloggers got busy.
RT Moscow reports. Tonight, Norwegian authorities are investigating strange lights seen in the Arctic sky. The spiraling white lights were seen for several minutes Wednesday morning. Locals say the lights appeared to be bigger than the moon. Thousands of Norwegians bombarded the Meteorological Institute to ask what that light could have possibly been. Some thought it could have been a meteor, others a black hole, and some even thought it was aliens.
In 2009 we have the Hole in the Sky UFO in Moscow. An odd-shaped cloud structure appeared in the sky over Moscow.
RT Beijing reports. People have been baffled by an unexplained circle of light seen hovering high over Moscow on Wednesday evening. Scientists have rejected claims of UFO activity, saying that the white cloud was no more than an optical illusion.
Then in 2010 was the amazing spiraling white light UFO in Australia. Another spiraling UFO appeared.
A strange spiraling white light was spotted in the early morning sky over Sydney. It has even skeptical witnesses wondering if it was a UFO. The unusual sight was recorded by hundreds of people from Victoria north to Queensland. It appeared just before 6 o'clock this morning, a spiral in the sky around a bright light. Malcolm Richardson saw it move from west to east, disappearing into the sunrise. Malcolm Richardson, it was actually rotating and giving off a vapor, a glowing vapor in a spiral, it was getting bigger. He was not alone. Early morning surfers, farmers, truckers grabbed their phone cameras, still cameras, and web cameras. It was just the most astounding thing. I was just looking out the window trying to just see if it's come back or not. From central Queensland to Melbourne, all along the east coast, people shared a close encounter. This thing was moving at a rapid rate. I thought, wow, gee, that's so unusual. I was just dumbfounded.
In 2010 we also had the Turkey UFO sightings part 2. Over a 6-month span in 2010, there were a massive amount of UFO reports, and many of them were recorded digitally as a photograph or on video. Analysis of the material showed that many of the sightings or recordings were not natural or man-made objects like Venus, a satellite, or a bird, etc. In 2010 we also had the Merping UFO sighting in Japan. This amazing footage was recorded of a UFO that morphed and released other, smaller UFOs from itself. Also, in 2010 we had the Zhejiang incident in China. The Chinese news agency reported how airport authorities stopped passengers from boarding planes, and that outgoing flights were grounded for about an hour in Hangzhou, Zhejiang capital, after an amazing UFO was spotted. Incoming flights were rerouted to other airports as people watched in total amazement.
CCTV News reports. Some unexpected guests apparently have paid an unexpected visit to Hangzhou. The city known as Paradise on Earth may have attracted the attention of some celestial visitors. Reporter, at around 8 o'clock in the evening, an unidentified flying object was spotted hovering in the sky above Hangzhou's Zhejiang Airport. In the next hour, the airport was shut down. Airport employee, we received orders to shut down the airport until skies cleared. Reporter, as a result, outgoing flights were grounded, and inbound flight were directed to nearby airports. Normal airport operations resumed about 2 hours later. Residents near the airport have taken two photos of the object. The one in daylight reveals a clear comet-like tail, and the other one taken at night features a glowing object with a thick golden light. Aviation authorities are still investigating the phenomenon, and no further details have been released.
ABC News reports. UFO in China skies forces Zhejiang Airport to stop operations on July 7. Outbound flights were grounded after an unidentified flying object was detected by a flight crew. The incident has captured the attention of Chinese media. Theories about the UFO's identity are burning up on the internet as well. They include everything from a hidden US bomber to an elaborate man-made hoax. For now, the UFO continues to be a mystery. A spokesman from China's Civil Aviation Administration confirmed ABC News that the matter is under investigation.
Fox News reports. Some Chinese residents are on edge this morning after another apparent UFO sighting here. It's the second one in 2 weeks. The first sighting was on July 7th, and an airport had to be shut down. Second reporter. All right, that's a UFO if I've ever seen one. The airport apparently had to be shut down after people saw twinkling lights above the airport terminal. 17 flights had to be diverted, and this last one happened just 2 days ago, and people say they saw four lantern-like objects forming a diamond shape in the air, hovering in the sky for over an hour. Aviation experts say they don't know what it was, it wasn't a plane.
In 2011 we had the West Bengal incident in India. A glowing round object was witnessed making a speedy descent near the West Bengal-Bihar border early in 2011. The alleged UFO left the pilots of five aircraft baffled and triggered widespread speculation about UFOs. Then in 2011 we had the Lee's Summit UFO sightings in Missouri. This is when a metallic disc-shaped object with pulsating red, green and blue lights was seen by six different eyewitnesses. Also, in 2011 we had the strange sky UFOs in Russia. Strange flying phenomena also appeared in Russia throughout 2011. Also, in 2011 we have the Jerusalem sighting. This is the infamous sighting that created quite a stir.
The Today Show reports. An unusual sight over the city of Old Jerusalem making the rounds on the internet. This YouTube video was reportedly taken along the promenade of Armin Hansohn at about 1 in the morning. The man who posted it says he was there with a friend when a bright light appeared in the sky and descended on the Dome of the Rock. The light appears just to hang in the skyline, then an energy burst of some kind and the light goes sailing back. It's hard to see in the darkness, but it then appears that blinking red lights are hovering in the sky above, then just disappear. Midnight fireworks in a cloudy sky, or UFO flying over Jerusalem? Theories abound, is it real or a hoax? One thing is for certain, the video has the web world buzzing.
In fact, so convincing was the footage that several papers picked up on the story. One article stated this.
Several videos posted to YouTube last week appear to show a strange ball of light hovering above a Jerusalem shrine before disappearing into the night. The videos show a circular object descending slowly over the holy city's iconic Dome of the Rock before flickering and shooting skyward like a rocket. Similar clips have been seen before and debunked as hoaxes. But this latest sighting had been proving more difficult to dismiss as it was recorded from four different perspectives. Adding to the mystery is the fact that flying over the Dome of the Rock landmark, an ancient Islamic shrine, is forbidden. Last week, former Ministry of Defense UFO investigator Nick Pope said, "If these are real, they are some of the most incredible videos ever shot."
Then apparently this sighting was followed by several other amazing sightings also caught on video throughout the world. Another article shared this in response.
Johanan Vargas, a UFO expert in Mexico, reported on Sunday that an increase in UFOs over Mexico occurred the day after the Jerusalem Dome of the Rock UFO orb. According to Vargas, a flotilla of UFOs appeared in the northwestern part of Mexico over the city of Los Mochis. dozens of people reported through the Twitter network. In the first UFO sighting, there was reported the presence of strange lights in the sky that moved very slowly and in formation. A UFO witness was able to capture video with an iPhone of a UFO fleet where there are white areas that had a reddish halo perfectly protruding from the black sky. Later, there was a UFO fleet videotaped in France that had the same characteristics as those reported in Mexico. In fact, one researcher stated, UFO interventions will then accelerate, not so much over our cities, but dispersed over our continents with sightings increasing in duration. The intent of these interventions is to increase mankind's acceptance of the alien phenomena so that hopefully, we will be prepared to accept a face-to-face encounter and communicate, perhaps as early as next year. The sightings of UFOs have so increased that one article shared this sobering statistic: UFO evidence is breaking records already in 2011 for more UFO sightings than at any time in human history. Thus far in 2011, there's been more UFO sightings worldwide than at any time in previous years, say a host of well-known optical physicists and prominent UFO investigators in the United States, at the European Union, in China, Russia, Australia, and the Middle East. Moreover, leading international scientists and detailed UFO reports by the United States, Great Britain, France, Russia, China, and other world governments, and that include detailed analysis over 50 years, are calling on the United Nations to review all UFO evidence and produce a systematic scientific investigation to make first contact now.
And that's precisely what experts, officials, and world leaders are saying is coming soon.
Fox News reports. With us now from Washington is Stephen Bassett, founder and executive director of the Extraterrestrial Phenomena Political Action Committee. Last time he was here, he was running for Congress and was unsuccessful in that venture, but I will ask you today, sir. The Mexican military says, hey, we took these pictures, these are UFOs, what was that, do you know? Stephen Bassett, this is significant for two reasons, Shepard. One, this was released by the Defense Ministry of Mexico. This is a message sent to the United States government, that Mexico and many other governments are losing patience with our government's intransigence in ending this embargo. Other messages have been sent by France in 1999 with the Cometa report and by the United Kingdom when they released a substantial number of documents regarding the Bentwaters case in 2000. Many countries know about the extraterrestrial presence, but they defer to the United States regarding the timing of which the disclosure would take place, but they're simply losing patience. Shepard, how do we know this, by the way? Stephen Bassett, well, we know it by paying attention. I've been following this now for 10 years. I call it the politics of disclosure, the disclosure process. Hundreds of government witnesses in this government have come forward, and other governments are putting pressure on our government. The media hasn't covered it thoroughly enough. If it did, it would learn about some of the things I'm mentioning here. We would also learn about thousands of the photos and videos that have been taken over Mexico by Mexican citizens. Shepard, there's absolutely no doubt about that. Since 1991, there have been thousands of videos and pictures of discs, but never anything like this, taken by sophisticated cameras on board military vehicles. Stephen Bassett, oh, there's been plenty. Shepard, but not as clear and widespread as this and government confirmed in this way. I'm just saying that these are unusual in a way. Stephen Bassett, oh no, it has happened many times before, it's just that this is the first time it's been released. Believe me, there is evidence like this in the archives of every first world government in the world, but they released this publicly in a news conference in Mexico City, that is the difference. Shepard, studies have been done that clearly indicate the likelihood of extraterrestrial explanation, but there are people out there, I'm hoping there are millions of people at the moment, who are saying, this is nutty, why do we even talk about such things? Stephen Bassett, the polls show otherwise. Shepard, CNN, Times, Reuters polls over the last 10 years, consistently, 50% of all Americans believe that an extraterrestrial explanation accounts for these sightings, up to as many as 90% of Americans believe the government is outright lying. The polls are unambiguous, year after year. In fact, if you could talk anonymously, even in Congress, about 50% of Congress is already confirmed, convinced that an extraterrestrial presence explains these phenomena.
Disclosure is at hand and is very close, and the American people need to prepare themselves very soon for an announcement from our government that there is in fact an extraterrestrial presence and it has been engaging this planet and human race.
CNN News reports. Wolf Blitzer, there is a group gathering here in Washington to talk about their UFO sightings, but this apparently is no crackpot convention. Former high-level government and military officials are among those sharing what they've seen in the skies. Our national correspondent Gary Tuchman is here. He's watching all of this unfold. Gary, what is this conference all about? Gary Tuchman, well, Wolf, it's most interesting, a panel discussion within the Beltway about what might be taking place in the Milky Way and beyond. Have extraterrestrials visited us here on Earth? Well, 14 men from 7 different countries participated in a panel discussion to discuss why they believe UFOs have visited Earth. These aren't guys they just picked up off the streets. The panel includes former governor of Arizona Fife Symington, who's one of many Arizonians who say they saw UFOs back in 1997 during an episode that is popularly referred to as the Phoenix Lights. Fife Symington: we want the United States government to stop perpetuating the myth that all UFOs can be explained away in down-to-earth and conventional terms. Instead, our country needs to reopen its official investigation that it shut down in 1969. Gary Tuchman, also participating, was a retired U.S. Air Force captain who said he and his passengers saw a huge flying disc. Also, retired Peruvian Air Force pilot who says he came within 300 feet of a circular UFO flying at 63,000 feet. And then there was a retired U.S. Air Force security officer who, while stationed in England, was summoned to a downed aircraft in a forest. Pettis Dineen: when we came up on the triangular craft, there were blue and yellow lights swirling around the exterior as though they were part of the surface. The air around us was electrically charged and we could feel it on our clothes, our skin, and our hair. Gary Tuchman: while Pettis Dineen says the craft took off, he never saw any beings inside or outside the UFO. He says he took pictures but inferred they were purposely overexposed by the government. Wolf Blitzer: there have even been UFO reported sighting right here in the nation's capital. There was a flurry of them back in July of 1952, when the Air Force investigated but was never able to solve or prove anything. Take a look at some of these headlines. EHIL what's its buzz DC again. Air Force after DC saucers, jets ready to chase lights, jets ordered to hunt down flying saucers. There was a lot of hype, a lot of excitement about UFOs back in 1952.
Fox News reports. Bill Hemmer: now the United Nations is getting ready for a contact with the aliens from outer space. This is Maslin Othman. She's out of Malaysia, and she will be planet Earth's first interstellar diplomat. Bill Hemmer: this is Michio Kaku. She is a theoretical physics professor, also a host of the Science Channel series Sci-Fi Science Physics of the Impossible, which is doing very well, by the way. Nice to see you. Michio Kaku: I think it's a little premature for us to announce our presence in outer space until we know their intentions. I mean, they may view us as lunch, in which case maybe it's a good idea to keep ourselves a little bit obscure for a while. Bill Hemmer: and as someone said that if they're looking for intelligent life, they don't want to start in the United Nations. Bill Hemmer: the Vatican now, a 5-day conference on aliens. Father Jonathan Moore is Fox News contributor, back with us. Father Moore, how are you? What a great movie that was. Father Moore: a great movie, Drew Barrymore, and off she went. Bill Hemmer: did the Vatican find alien life? Father Moore: you know, as sensationalistic as that question sounds, it's really not that far off from what we've seen in the news over these last few days. The pictures of what might have been Pope Benedict standing on the roof of the Sistine Chapel, looking for UFOs, that the type of images that this news conjures up. What is exceptional is that the Vatican was taking very seriously what science might tell us about the possibility of extraterrestrial intelligent life forms. That is what the conference was about. I can't tell you that the Vatican found any alien life. I don't think that is what they were looking for, but they were taking very seriously this issue. Biller Hemmer: you know the history just like we do. They've come a long way since Galileo 400-500 years ago. What do you think it says about the church that it's actually looking at this issue? Father Moore: What it says is that although there have been some inglorious moments of relationship of faith and science, the Vatican, and not just Catholics, the Christians in general, they brought 30 of the best scientists, the astrobiologists, cosmologists, the astronomists to tell the philosophers, the theologians what they already know about the possibility of something that could happen. Now what they are trying to do is to get out ahead of the story. To get out ahead and say, what if we were to find life outside of this planet? What does that tell us about the doctrine of original sin of Adam and Eve? Their point here is that we have to allow science to lead us in what is their field without going into it with an ideology like, we know that God doesn't exist. Bill Hemmer. That's a great point. Now you as a Roman Catholic priest, you're open to science, so you say, is that correct? Father Moore, without a doubt, and not only open, but we have to respect science in its own field. Bill Hemmer, how would it change the Church's teaching then? If you consider for a moment, if you determine there is an extraterrestrial life there. Father Moore, one thing that would be fascinating not only extraterrestrial life, but if it were extraterrestrial intelligent life forms, that would definitely make us go back and say, maybe our understanding of perennial truths needs to be updated. Bill Hemmer, I think that's an interesting explanation, and I think also that if it were to be determined, that would be an earthquake, would it not? Father Moore, it would be, and especially if the Vatican were involved in accepting that.
Radio broadcast.
Hello, you are on the air.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Hi, I don't have a whole lot of time.
Well, look, let's begin by finding out whether you're using this line properly or not.
Area 51.
Yeah. That's right. Were you there an employee or are you there now?
I am a former employee.
Former employee?
I was let go on a medical discharge about a week ago. And I've kind of been running across the country. I don't know where to start. They'll triangulate on this position really, really soon.
So, you can't spend a lot of time on the phone, so give us something quick.
Okay. What we're thinking of as aliens. Art. They're extra-dimensional beings that an earlier precursor of the space program contacted. They are not what they claim to be. They have infiltrated a lot of aspects of the military establishment. Particularly the Area 51. The disasters that are coming. The government knows about. And there's a lot of safe areas in this world that they could begin moving the population to, now.
But they're not doing anything?
They are not. They want those major population centers wiped out so that the few that are left will be more easily controllable.
Sobbing. Loosing transmission. Loosing satellite. Transmission lost. Backup system now up and running.
In some way, something knocked us off the air and now we're on a backup system now.
The government, or?
I don't know.
It has to be something, though.
Well, did you hear? Now you tell me because you were listening.
That was awful strange.
There was a really weird guy on the air when it went off?
Yeah. A real weirdo.
Sort of sounding paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah, like crying and everything.
And how far into the conversation was it when it went off?
Just a couple, about 15 or 20 seconds, I'd say.
Well, you guys really missed the call then and I got to say that somebody didn't want you to hear it.
'Cause all of a sudden I'm hearing Mark Fermin or something.
The broadcast went immediately to a backup tape while we figured out what blew up here. The transmitter was cut off suddenly for some unknown reason. I've never seen it do this in all the years that we've been on the air, I've never seen the transmitter in this way just simply fail, like massively fail a massive heart attack.
And then as if that wasn't enough, we are now being told that these events are occurring to prepare us for the emergence of a world leader. Can you say the Antichrist and false prophet? Here's what the article states.
What do these phenomena mean? Who is creating them? What is their significance at this time of crisis and change? According to Benjamin Krem, artist, author and lecturer, These are the many signs or miracles which herald the emergence into public life of Maitreya, the world teacher. According to Benjamin Kremsmaster, the UFO in Jerusalem was one of the four stars seen around the world since December 2008 that herald Maitreya's open emergence. Many now expect the return of their awaited teacher, whether they call him the Christ, Messiah, the fifth Buddha, Krishna, Kalki Avatar or the Imam Mahdi.
In fact, here's Benjamin Krem heralding this news to a press conference.
Benjamin Krem. Many of us have been affected by the crisis happening in the world today, but something wonderful is happening even as we speak. Everybody on earth without exception is longing for, seeking, aiming for, consciously or subconsciously, for unity, a sense of unity. What if cooperation could truly replace competition in every sphere of life? According to British author Benjamin Krem, Maitreya, a teacher of extraordinary stature, is here in the world to inspire us to make the fundamental changes that will usher in an unprecedented golden age of brotherhood and justice.
Benjamin Krem. This is indeed a unique time in the whole history of the world. So, we have to reassess the meaning about the purpose of life. The lead in this respect will be given by Maitreya himself.
Maitreya and his group of apostles have created hundreds and hundreds of signs for humanity to show that something tremendous is afoot, and these are known throughout the world as extraordinary, seemingly impossible happenings, but happenings which happen. The latest of these signs pointing to the herald of Maitreya is a new star-like object which has appeared all over the world. It looks like a star, only bigger and brighter and nearer, tremendous brilliance and changing color and moving, but it appears as a star. When Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, a star appeared in the heavens, which according to the Christian teachings guided three wise men from the east to Bethlehem, the Holy Land, where they followed it every day, and it stopped over the birthplace of Jesus. That star which, the Star of Bethlehem, it was a spacecraft sent by the spiritual hierarchy to guide the three wise men and act as a sign. This has been repeated today, in which our spiritual hierarchy have arranged with our fellow humans in this solar system to have four such spacecraft, huge, enormous entities, which are posted throughout the world so that wherever you are you see a star, one star, which acts as described. But what Maitreya really desires is an open discussion on the media worldwide about the star, what it is, because people don't know what it is, they see it, they report it, but it's an amazing object.
Is it a UFO?
Well, in a sense it is a UFO, but it is a very specific one. It is the star and the first so-called crop circles which have been created for years all over the world, especially in the south of England. These are created by our space brothers from the other planets, but mainly of Mars and Venus, and the first crop circle created this year, many weeks ahead of the date that they usually appear, is this, if you can see it, a star. That's the photograph of the first crop circle.
It was made by a spacecraft in a few seconds, I suppose, as they all are, hundreds of meters long, and is to remind us that need to know that this is the star, the herald of Maitreya, who is entering into public work.
What will Maitreya talk about on television? Obviously, he will talk about the need for peace, the need for justice in the world, but how do we get justice? Maitreya says there is only one way to achieve justice in the world, to see the world as one, brothers and sisters of one humanity, and to share the resources of the world. Sharing is the key. Only sharing will produce the trust needed to end war forever.
When we have sharing, we automatically have justice. When we have justice, we will have peace.
Freedom, justice, sharing, and peace all go together. One comes out of the other. They're all part of the same divine plan for humanity.
This is indeed a unique time in the whole history of the world.
Now add to this deception the wild and otherworldly behavior of the Vatican and the Catholic Church. First, the Vatican has not only bought into the lie of evolution, but as mentioned in the earlier interview, right now they're in a desperate search for extraterrestrials, and they are preparing themselves to be the official spokespeople for when the aliens do land. The Vatican and the Catholic Church are so serious about this that they have an actual entity called VORG, or the Vatican Observatory Research Group. This group has a couple of the world's most powerful telescopes on the top of Mount Graham in Arizona looking for extraterrestrial life. One is called VOT, or the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope, and the other, they have one quarter interest in, is called Lucifer. It stands for Large Binocular Telescope Near Infrared Utility with Camera and Integral Field Unit for Extragalactic Research. It's the most powerful telescope in the world and is reported to get better images than the Hubble telescope. It's also infrared, so it can pick up things that other telescopes can't. And if that wasn't freaky enough, the highway that goes up to Mount Graham used to be known as the Devil's Highway or 666. So, the question is, why in the world is the Vatican searching for extraterrestrial life? Well, believe it or not, it's because they believe these so-called ETs are going to be our new savior and usher in peace to our planet. Here's their own words.
Father Gabriel Funes, Jesuit priest and head of the Vatican Observatory, stated that extraterrestrial life may not have experienced a fall, and may be free from original sin and therefore remains in full friendship with their Creator. This makes it possible to regard them as our brothers. Therefore, if they're unfallen, they must be closer to God and have a better understanding of the Gospel and of the Godhead and of the nature of God. In fact, Funes went on to say that he'd not only be willing to baptize an alien into the Catholic faith, but that they, aliens, are coming here and they're going to baptize us into their faith, and it is going to require us to make changes to our knowledge and understanding of the Gospel. Everything we think we know about the Gospel is going to have to be thrown out. Another prominent Vatican astronomer is Guy Consolmagno, and he too not only says he would baptize an alien but, only if they asked and then qualified, any entity, no matter how many tentacles it has a soul. He then later says that these non-human forms are described in the Bible as angels, and very soon the nations of the world will look to aliens for their salvation. We fell, they didn't. And what of those who resist? Father Gabriel Funes stated, to not believe in the existence of aliens and be willing to accept their morally superior dogma, that is going to be the true heresy of the future. In other words, you will be a new heretic if you are unwilling to accept this morally superior and new form of the Gospel.
The Bible clearly warns us about turning to another Gospel, even if it's supposed to come from a so-called angel.
Galatians 1:8-9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a Gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a Gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned.
Is any of this belief getting anywhere in the Vatican? Yes. Both Consolmagno and Funes have been leading advisors to Pope Francis about extraterrestrial life, and apparently their influence is working, because Pope Francis just recently came out and said he'd be willing to baptize an alien, as well as this news report shares. Pope Francis reiterated his view Monday that everyone has the right to be baptized, and apparently that invite extends even to Martians. The pontiff described the hypothetical situation during morning mass. According to Vatican Radio, Francis said, if, for example, tomorrow an expedition of Martians came and some of them came to us and said, I want to be baptized, what would happen? In other words, if God prompted the Martians to come to Earth, find the Pope, and say we want on this Catholicism thing, the Pope would probably say okay, cool, but probably in Latin. The Vatican would also have you and I believe that Jesus is really a descendant of alien life, and that Mary's virgin birth was actually a direct result of an alien abduction. They are calling Jesus a star child, and that he was genetically engineered to save us at his first coming, and now the aliens are here again to save us from Earth catastrophes coming as a kind of pseudo-second coming, a second saving. This doctrine is called many Christs, and that's exactly what the real Jesus warned about in the last days.
Matthew 24:4-5. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.
So just how close are we to this last day's deception? Well, a professor at the Vatican University, a Father Giuseppe Tanzellaniti, said, very soon there is information coming from another world, and once it is confirmed it is going to require a rereading of the Gospel as we know it. And a Vatican spokesman, Monsignor Corrado Baldacci, said, there is an alien presence on Earth now. It was reported that Pope Francis is preparing a major world statement about extraterrestrial life and its theological implications, and wants to be ready with a statement about first contact. And Hollywood, of course, is helping us visualize how that would go.
The spaceships have landed. The priest and his niece are watching. He says, there are living creatures out there. She tries to tell him, they're not human. Dr. Forrester said they are some form of advanced civilization. He replies, if they are more advanced than us, they should be nearer the Creator than us. As he ponders what is going on, he says, no real attempt has been made to communicate with them, you know. While tugging at his arm, she says, let's go back inside, Uncle Matthew. He turns to her and says, "I've done all I can, you go back." She turns to go back to the rest of the people watching the alien crafts. He turns to the alien ships and proceeds to walk towards them. He starts to recite, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." His niece is watching as he gets closer and closer. As he walks, they start coming towards him. She is screaming for him to stop and come back to safety, but he doesn't heed her cries. He keeps walking, holding his Bible, and still repeating the Lord's Prayer. The ship sees him getting closer and closer when suddenly a blast comes out of the ship and disintegrates the priest into dust.
One researcher stated, "So what would happen someday if aliens showed up and claimed that they seeded life on this planet, guided our evolution, and are now here to lead us into a new golden age? And what would happen if the Catholic Church gave those aliens their stamp of approval? Yes, I wonder what would happen, but as bizarre as that sounds, this is exactly what is going on at the Vatican right now. Yet, they're not the only ones. Even former presidents like Bill Clinton are getting in on this otherworldly deception. He appeared on the Jimmy Kimmel Show and said basically, when aliens land on planet Earth, it will bring peace to the planet." Jimmy Kimmel interviews Bill Clinton. President Bill Clinton is here with us. So, if I were president, and I won't be, let's be honest. The first thing I would do after putting my hand on that Bible and taking that oath to serve the country is, I probably wouldn't even finish the oath, I would run to the White House, I would demand to see all the classified files on UFOs. Because I would want to know what's been going on. Did you do that? The president replies sort of, "I think it was at the beginning of my second term, we had the anniversary of Roswell." Jimmy asks, "You waited that long?" Then the president replies, "I did. Well, I did, and there's also Area 51. Do you remember there was a great sci-fi movie where there was an alien kept deep under the ground at Area 51? So first I had people go look at the records on Area 51 to make sure there was no alien down there. Then when the Roswell thing came up, I knew we'd get zillions of letters, so I had all the Roswell papers reviewed, everything." Jimmy then asks, "If you saw that there were aliens, would you tell us?" President answers, "Yeah." Jimmy asks, "Who would?" President says, "Yes, I would. What do we know now? We live in an ever-expanding universe, we know that there are billions of stars and planets out there. So, it makes it increasingly less likely that we are alone." Jimmy asks, "Oh, you're trying to give me a hint that there are aliens?" President answers, "No, I'm trying to tell you I don't know, but if we were visited someday I wouldn't be surprised. I just hope it's not like the Independence Day movie, like a conflict. It may be the only way to unite this incredibly divided world of ours. If they're out there, we better think about all the differences among people on Earth. They would seem small if we felt threatened by a space invader. That's the whole theory of Independence Day. Everybody gets together and makes nice. When, not if, aliens land, it will unite the whole planet together and all our problems will go away. Everybody gets together and makes nice. The aliens can save us. The Vatican and the Catholic Church, the Pope, priests, presidents, world leaders, individuals, news media and news outlets, and even Hollywood are all basically saying the same thing when it comes to UFOs and aliens. It's almost like we're being prepared for something. I wonder what it is.